Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
I only have to pack. Oh, I could leave meeting?
No, don't. You have nothing else to do.
Tacos. Tacos.
Tacos. Nothing
else. The Packer games are on. Not that I care. Right?
I can't. I watch. I start watching football, and I actually feel guilty if I watch football now because I'm like, why am I supporting these guys?
Oh, I know.
I mean, there's a handful of decent folk in there, but geez.
I don't watch football.
Hey, this is not our introduction, but hey, welcome to Thin Line Believers. We got the three Caballeros back today because Josiah decided he could drive no further once he finally hit water.
Yeah.
And that was as far east as he could go. I'm going to do a quick plug here so I can take my hat off because I'm just tired of wearing it. Got some new apparel online. So have a look if you want to support us. That would be super, super cool. So yeah, new flat brim, taking that off, let my hair breathe.
And if you buy a hat, you'll have coffee with Adam in person.
Sick.
If you come out here.
But yeah, that's a caveat. You
gotta yeah, if you want to come out here and hang out with the rednecks, come on out. We'll hang out.
Go do some shooting.
Yeah, exactly.
Shear a llama. Yeah.
It's an alpaca.
Man. Oh, okay.
just don't tell Governor
Brown. There's a difference.
Yeah, don't tell the governor I have livestock. She doesn't, or guns. Don't.
She's gonna tax each leg.
Yeah.
For walking.
some of the things going on the ballot coming up. Okay. We're getting way off track here.
Yes.
Josiah, I haven't heard you pray in a long time.
I would be honored.
Please do it.
All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your faithfulness, for your spirit that fills us, that teaches us, that leads us in the truth. Yes. God, would you fall upon us, Lord? I thank you for this podcast and for the listeners. Lord, you know exactly where they're at. And what they're going through and what they're dealing with. And Lord, maybe the thought of stepping out in faith and following you, and Lord, may our lives reflect that and encourage them and challenge them, Lord, for your glory. And we thank you for what you're doing. We give you the praise, God, because it is simply just following you and your leading that means anything in this life, Lord. Nothing else matters. And so, Lord, would you just bless this podcast and bless our hearers? And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I tell you what, the old Adam started to come out there for a second when you said nothing else matters. I just wanted to sing that chorus.
Right?
Nothing else matters. Okay. Right. Let's see. Real quick. I think I offended a couple people by the cop church this week because I said the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, right? And so I made some people feel a little guilty about their foul mouth. So good. And
a little conviction's always good.
Right.
Hey.
Conviction better than condemnation, right?
Right.
So this episode here, I want to know what's going on with you guys because, I mean, let's see. Revelation says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And I think you two guys have a bit of a testimony to share, and I want to hear it. And so that's what today's episode is devoted to. And I don't care what direction this goes, honestly. So who wants to kick it off? Josiah, I think I already put you on the spot. So let's,
you did.
Let's continue on with that.
Not a problem. So, wow, where do we start? I think Mike and I kind of shared what had transpired. I know that he was able to share a lot more of what was going on in his life and some of the issues that he was dealing with and kind of where God was moving and directing him. We are no longer close to each other.
Physically.
As of yes, physically. But that all started that day that we gathered for prayer at the coffee shop and we shut them down drinking coffee. as many of you guys know,
you can't stay here,
right? Mike and I've known each other since, for a long time. I was 18 years old. I'm 42 right now. So you guys can do the math. But we've known each other for quite a while. And so God has always kind of put our lives together in ministry and in what we've been doing in Bible college and since then. And we were sitting back in Colorado at the coffee shop and just really praying about kind of challenging each other, right? We both were in law enforcement and you know, serving God in the churches and where we were at and faithfully doing that. But kind of just being there. And we've had the burden on our hearts that there was more, that there was going to be more to what we were called to do. And it wasn't just to be there. And so we started praying about what that was going to look like. And as we began to do that, God started to move. And a year ago, Labor Day, I had the opportunity to go up to Bozeman, Montana, where I had once served and lived at a Calvary. They were looking for some help. And my wife and I had come to the realization that, you know, the kids were coming out of the house and we were going to be empty nesters. And it was almost, you know, really time for us to kind of just get back into the ministry full time and see what God was doing. And we were willing to step out of law enforcement and go back into full-time ministry. And so we went up to Bozeman and started to pray about whether or not we were going to go up there to work with the Calvary Chapel up there. And the Lord used that weekend to kind of just get our hearts back and our mindset really set on what that was going to look like, right? What was ministry going to look like again? And are we willing to let go of law enforcement and really just go back into full-time ministry? Well, the Lord shut those doors. And it wasn't, oh no, it was God directing our steps, right? That wasn't the right path he had for us. And the pastor was basically like, hey, we're not ready and we're not willing to do this move. And so we were like, hey, no problem. God has something else for us. And so we buckled down and we stayed in Colorado and we were doing great things. And a buddy of mine from Bible college as well, back in the day, was coming off the mission field from New Zealand. And I'd been following him, you know, over the years and what God was doing in his life. And he had planted a few churches. Well, he was coming back. And so I reached out to him and I was like, hey, you're coming back into town, back stateside. What's your plan? Well, he had mentioned that he possibly was going to be planting a church. And I told him, well, I said, well, wherever you land, let me know. We're praying about, Anya and I are praying about getting back into full-time ministry. And he was like, you would really relocate? And I was like, absolutely. And so make a long story short, in the process of relocating, I was like, absolutely, we're totally for it. And they ended up landing in Florida, down in Bradenton, Sarasota area. And so last April, my wife and I, we flew out here and spent some time with them for a week, fell in love with the area. And while we were here the last day, we were talking with the pastor and my buddy, and we were kind of just like really excited about moving out and, you know, taking the steps necessary. And I was like, well, I'm going to need to find work. And so I was willing to, you know, go do whatever. I mean, law enforcement, yeah, it's a passion of mine. I love it. And I didn't feel like God was completely done with us in that chapter. And so I kind of just, in the whim of driving from a Home Depot to pick up some lumber, got on my phone and looked to see if the sheriff's office down here was hiring. And lo and behold, they were. So we got back home to Colorado. I put an application in about 3 days later, got response from them, went through the hiring process. And I have a starting date with the sheriff's office down here, November 1st. So basically that whole start from April to now, God's just been throwing the pieces together. And it was that faithfulness of us stepping out, and really trusting him and his faithfulness to his word. And he says in the Psalm, the psalmist writes, the Lord will lead you and guide you and instruct you in the way you should go. And I will guide you with my eye. And that's a verse the Lord's always used in my family's life. And give you a little background of who I am. I grew up in a Christian family. So, you know, many maybe listening to this didn't have the upbringing that I did. I was blessed to be, to have a mother and father who loved the Lord and taught us the word of God and brought us to church. And so the foundation of my life has always been God. I don't have a memory of childhood that I wasn't in church. And so faith has been something that I've had in my family. We've, you know, been poor and I've seen God, you know, bring food to the doorstep. I mean, I know God is real and God is alive and God is working tangibly, and it's a relationship. And so at the age of 13, I remember being called to be a missionary, and it was an altar call at a youth camp. And it wasn't to accept Christ, but it was if you feel that God's calling you to be that one who he says, hey, I need someone, and you feel like you are ready to make that stand and say, here I am, send me, come down. And I could not wait to get down to the altar to be prayed for, to say, God, this is what I want to do for you. I want to live my life in service to you. And if that means being a missionary and moving and reaching lives, then Lord, sign me up. And so at 13, that was my calling. And that's what my wife and I have been since we got married. I remember in Bible college talking to her, and she's from Germany. And I remember talking to her and saying, hey, look, I feel called to be a missionary. And that means that God might tell me to go, and I am willing to go wherever that is, whatever that means, I'm ready to go. And I said, if that is something that you're okay with, and you could follow me and you can follow me as we follow Christ, then let's continue this relationship. And she said, yeah. And 23 years later, we're still married and we're still moving.
Josiah had hair back then.
I did. Not anymore. But that was the process. And so it hasn't been an easy move, but it has been an amazing move. My wife and I set out a week ago. Yeah, when was it? We left
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Late. We left 2 weeks ago, packed up a big Penske truck, put her 4Runner on a car hauler, and drove 8 states and 2,000 miles. It was a great drive. It was a hard drive. We blew a tire on the trailer, which was crazy because I had no clue that I did that until some guy drove up next to me. He was like, pull over, like yelling at me. I'm like, what?
No, it's a cardigan.
Like, I'm not pulling over. And he said I was like, sparks were flying. It was great.
Mind your own business.
I'm not pulling over. I'm just outside of Atlanta. carjacking, you know, I didn't know what was going on. But no, we made it down here and just hit the ground running. We're helping plant a church. If anyone's interested on looking at the church, it's mywestchurch.com, and you can see the website. We were looking at a building today to try to get grounded and start going on Sunday mornings. We meet Thursday nights on the beach right now. Rough life.
So jealous.
Awesome. We've been 40 to 60 people strong. It's a nice big circle when it's not raining. We get a big group and worship in the word. I mean, it's that simple. Like these guys that I'm down here ministering with, that's our heart. And it's not about glamour and blitz and all this fun stuff that you can add to a church. We're simply keeping it simple. Old school Calvary Chapel way of worship and the word.
You are going to wear skinny jeans though, right?
I'm not. I won't fit in skinny jeans. What are you talking about? Shorts and flip flops. That's what I'm talking about.
Skinny jeans and a beard, man. That's the new way.
No. Maybe the pastor, but not me. But I mean, you know, ultimately it's bringing people to Christ. I mean, we just started the book of John, the Gospel of John. If you haven't read, yeah, I mean, it's awesome, right? And if you are still, you know, new Christian and figuring out where to read and where to go, I mean, the Gospel of John is amazing. And the fact that it shows you who Jesus is, right? And so it's a great gospel to understand who Jesus is. And, you know, the neat thing in John chapter 2, or as I would say, yeah, let me find it here. So in John chapter 1, towards the end, you know, John the Baptist is now on scene, and he's people are asking him who he is, and he's pointing people to Christ, right? And Jesus now in chapter 1 is starting to, he's going to start bringing in the disciples, right? And he's going to start bringing in the 12 of his boys, and he's going to begin to minister into them. And I posted this on our Facebook page, you know, come and see, right? And it's as simple as that. It is simple as pointing people to Christ, because he's who matters, right? He changes lives. He restores lives. He gives hope. I mean, in our world and day and age right now, when we have a pandemic that is being pushed down our throat, I don't care where you stand on that, right? I'm not here to say yay or nay or put you on sides. I really don't care where you stand. What I care is that you guys stay focused on Christ, because he's the only one that matters. So you're sick and you need healing, Jesus will heal you, right? You have fear and anxiety, Jesus will take that away. You're strong and healthy, well, Jesus will keep you that way. And I want you to stay focused on that. That is exactly where we're at. And here he is, John the Baptist, who had an amazing amount of followers. I mean, people were following him because he was pointing people and teaching people about, you know, the things to come. Christ steps on the scene, and some of his disciples are getting mad at John the Baptist because they're losing people to Jesus. And he's like, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Follow him. And you see the disciples starting to find. So Andrew meets Christ and he's like, oh my gosh. And he runs and gets Peter and says, hey, I found the Messiah. Right. And then they start to go and grab others. And it says here, they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, in verse 37 of chapter 1 of John. And it says, where are you staying? And Jesus says, come and you will see. And so he's like, hey, you want to know where I stay? Come, follow me. Right? It's that simple. And they have questions, right? They're questioning him. And he's like, come and see. And I think a lot of times as believers and as, you know, followers of Christ, and even in our job as law enforcement, first responders, firemen, wherever you're at, military, we work with people that have so many questions. We work with people who get caught up in, you know, are you pre-trib or post-trib or amillennial or whatever you are, right? There's so many theological things that we can get hooked up on, and it's great. And we need to know our Bible and we need to know those things. So I'm not discounting that, right? I mean, I went to Bible college and I got my bachelor's degree in biblical knowledge. And so yes, continue to grow in knowledge is great. But with all those questions, the simple answer or the simple thing to do with people is simply to say, come and see. Come and see Jesus. Come and see what he will do to your life. Those questions we'll get to, right? Those answers, we'll find them. Right now, what are you dealing with? What is that big issue that you're dealing with in your life? Come and see how Jesus is going to restore that, how Jesus is going to help you, how Jesus is going to take care of the anxiety and the fear and the troubles that you're in. That's what our world needs today. Nothing else. And he says, even down there further, he says, the next day he decided to leave for Galilee. And Jesus found Philip and told him, follow me, right? Follow me. It's these simple things that Jesus went out and this is a church. This is as believers, we need to be doing to those around us. We need to be going out and we need to be telling those that we work with, those in our neighborhood, right? Hey, follow me. Follow me to the one who has the answers. Follow me to the one who can take care of you right now. And that's why I moved down here. I mean, I left Colorado and, you know, resigned from my position with the Eagle County Sheriff's Office to move down here to talk to people about Christ and to get them to say, hey, come and see. Come and see what Jesus is doing. Come and see what he can do in your life. Come and see and follow me as we follow Christ. And I'm starting with a new job November 1st, and we'll see what the Lord does with that. But I'm so excited to be down here and to link arms with my brothers and sisters with West Church and really pour into the lives of the people here in Bradenton and watch lives changed, because that's what it is. And I truly believe that the chapter and what God had for us in Colorado was to an end. Because if it wasn't, I wouldn't be here. And God has something totally new for us. And yeah, I'm bummed to be farther away from Mike and way far away from Adam. But you know what? Technology is awesome and amazing that we can get together and we can have this fellowship and we could tell all of you simply come and see what Jesus is doing in our lives as that thin line of believers on a front line that we need to be loud and strong in even more these days, united on the fact that Christ is the only one who can make a difference in our lives.
Are shorts going to be part of your uniform?
I hope so. I'm going to be in the courts, so I don't know what my uniform is going to be.
Oh, snap. Sweet. I like that you chose John because that's where my Bible study was last night.
That's awesome.
Great. And
can I throw in one thing before I
old, huh, Mike?
That's awesome.
Told my son to bring my star here.
Oh, that's old, cool. Bro. See, I'm not missing that.
Buddy.
You know, one thing I did want to point out at the end of that chapter one, when we say come and see and, you know, have these questions, Nathaniel kind of made a comment because I'll read it. It's awesome. So Philip was from Bethesda, in the hometown of Andrew and Peter, and Philip found Nathanael and told them, in verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and so did the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Right? So like, he's like, nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Like, really? And Philip answered, and this was awesome. This is why I say simply all we need to do is say, "Come and see," right? So Nathanael has this question like, "Really? Out of Nazareth?" And Philip goes, "Come and see. Come see Jesus for yourself. Like, come." And so Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said about him, "Here's a true Israelite. No deceit is in him." "And how do you know me?" Nathanael said. "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you," Jesus answered. And Nathanael answered, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So awesome to know. You know, maybe you feel out there like no one's seen you, right? Like, I'm getting overlooked. How many times have we felt like that in our jobs in law enforcement? I know I have. Right? You give, you serve, you do what you're called to do. You show up, do what you do. You're there early. You got your boots shined. I mean, you're there, you're volunteering, you're doing all these things, and you get overlooked promotion. Right? You're like, am I even thanked? Like, do they even know I'm here? Like, does anyone see me? And you know what? Jesus sees you. And I wrote that in our page in my when I on Facebook, and I posted that Bible verse where he says, Jesus said, "I saw you." And that was huge to me. I mean, I've read that chapters plenty of times, right? And it's so neat how alive and real, and the Lord just reveals things to you. Jesus sees you. And someone needs to hear that. He sees you. Come and see what he can do in your life.
Amen. Amen.
Well said. See, I knew it. I just had to give this thing a title. What's Josiah doing?
This is what Josiah's doing.
I could hear Crystal Lewis singing in the background.
Yeah.
Come just as you are.
Amen. Amen.
I like John 1 because in John 1, we see the physical baptism, the water baptism, I should say. And we also see the Spirit descending upon Jesus, sort of like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you talk about ministry and how your job in ministry is to point to Christ. That's you being in full of the Holy Spirit, right? Because it's the Spirit's job to point people to Christ. Mm-hmm. So well done, good sir. Michael, you better start talking.
Old man. Oh. Man, it's cold.
What's new?
That's so awesome.
It's cold.
All my neighbors here are retired, and at least half of them go to Arizona every summer. So
there you go.
I was like, "Hey, you guys going anywhere near Buckeye?" Except for the ones, they're like, "Bro, we're Mormon." I was like,
"So tell them to come.
Go anyway,
right? Come and see what this crazy Asian guy is doing."
Come and see.
He's pointing people to Christ. What's up with that?
Look at this stupidity right here. Let me see if you guys can see this. Man.
You're going to have to describe it for the podcast only, people.
All right. Those of you that are listening, it says it's 60, but it feels like 58. And then in the middle of the morning, it's going to drop down to 24 degrees.
Man, right now it's 79 degrees here.
Let's see, what do I have here?
And where I'm going to right now, it's a balmy 95.
Oh, the low is going to be 75 tonight.
For you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, it's so cold. I'm ready to put a sweater on. Hey,
no more dry skin for you, huh?
No.
I got a low of 40. 80 tomorrow. Ooh,
there you go.
Man.
Oh.
See?
I'm a cold weather guy. I can't do that. I don't like it.
I'm telling you right now, brutal. I'm like, freeze warning. What the heck is this?
That's not, no, I'm so happy I'm out of there.
All week, no, it's in the 20s in the morning.
Don't pretend like you're not used to it, though. Come on.
I know. But I've been trying to get out of here like Josiah.
You just got to move your workouts indoors. That's all.
I have.
You have? You have been working out?
I haven't
seen the pictures.
I haven't seen them either.
You know why?
Why?
My basement is a disaster.
Well, you know what? Not all of us can just go run on the beach. Okay. So
that's true.
That's true.
You know, I have to move my workouts to do sprints, like the old school academy stuff, doing some suicides.
Which Rocky was that when he was like in the barn thing? Because it was.
Is it Rocky 1 or Rocky 2?
He's out in the snow. No, Rocky 1, I think 1 and 2 were in Philly, right? But then there was one where he went like off grid. You know, he's hauling the wheelbarrow. I don't remember which one.
Yeah.
It was so long ago. It was like 8 Rockies ago.
Yeah.
So who knows?
I did record one of my workouts and then I saw the video and I was just like, all my junk's all around the place. So I'm like, I can hold off on it.
Well, you're not supposed to have your junk all over the place.
I was going
to
say like junk, like, or like,
I can't help it. It's just junk. It's just grown.
I thought you were going to say gross. I was going to say
gross. Now let's circle back.
Oh, easy now, Jen.
We're going to circle back now.
There is a box when I upload this to YouTube that says, is this for kids? Not for kids. And I always, not for kids.
Right?
Talking about junk.
Oh. We're going to circle back.
Goodness gracious. Well, I don't want to take too much time. I know a lot of people know that I'm in transition. Like Josiah, you know, we did pray and we did seek the Lord, you know. There's that scripture in Chronicles that the Lord is looking for those that he can show himself strong on their behalf. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure Josiah can tell you in his version, but once you've tasted the goodness of God in ministry and seeing people saved, there's that longing for that, you know. And, you know, like being a police officer and being a firefighter, it's a calling. There's a definite calling. And I also believe that there's definitely a higher calling, you know, for those that are wanting to be, you know, in the position of a pastor. I was just reading this morning. I'll read it to you guys real quick. A handful of verses. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work, you know. And it talks about bishops and deacons and being blameless, you know, husband of Lord and wife and all that. But I also know, we all know that verse in Proverbs, you know, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart, you know, and actually Psalms, Psalm 37. And so I think when Josiah and I prayed, I think the Lord heard. Mm. And the beauty of the Lord hearing is, it's like, you know, we sent the message to the Lord. Now it's up to the Lord to kind of do what he needs to do to make orchestrate things. And yesterday it was officially announced at Calvary Chapel Buckeye by the founding pastor there. And much like the recent Olympics, he's handing the baton off to me. And so I'm super excited. You know, never thought I would, you know, really necessarily go to Arizona per se. But when I went out there and led worship and taught a Bible study, you know, the senior pastor, Ed Urek there, asked me only a couple of questions. And it was like mano y mano, old school way. He's like, I only have two questions for you, Mike. I was like, what's that? He's like, number one, are you going to teach the word of God verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, like Pastor Chuck taught us? And number two, are you going to love on the people? And he goes, you know, you can't have both answers have to be yes. And I said 100%. And, you know, and I told him, I said, it would be an honor to, you know, take that baton, you know? And so we've been praying for a smooth transition. We weren't sure whether to make the announcement when I got there or, you know, when I went and visited in August. I've been trying to get out there as soon as possible, but due to the delays of selling the house in this market and, you know, under current conditions and all, we just had to kind of wait. There were some hiccups with my wife's job, but God also answered that prayer as well. And so we were able to find the house this week. You know, the sellers accepted our offer, and you know, the God's moving in, you know, ways that, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, like that scripture that he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us, in Ephesians 3:20. And sometimes we want things this way. God says, I hear you. I gotta, you know, work some things out so that, you know, to make that happen. And it's like when we're single, we're praying for our spouses, right? Lord, I want a California beach girl. Mm-hmm. And I want it to be a doctorate, fully loaded or whatever, blah, blah, blah. God hears that prayer and God says, well, Michael, I need to change you for that, you know? And I think a lot of times when we pray in such a way where, okay, Mike, I heard your prayer. Now I need to orchestrate whatever it is, or I need to change your heart for that. And, you know, I've always desired the office of a bishop, you know, much like Josiah. I remember my mom praying for my middle brother to become a pastor. And I think I was 11 or 12 years old. You know, when my mom was praying for my brother, you know, we shared a room at the time. And I remember waking up, like, the Lord nudging me. He goes, that was for you, not for Richard. And I was just like, what? And I never lost that desire, you know. And Josiah knows. I mean, when we're single, we've both worked at churches where we worked 60, 70, 80 hours a week. Because we loved the Lord. You know, we wanted to get people saved and, you know, get right with the Lord. And so now it's a matter of me picking up the baton and getting all the people that are fleeing California to go to Buckeye, you know, and they need a Bible teaching church. And that's where, you know, I'm going. And even today I spoke with Arizona Department of Public Safety, and they got back to me from my email request to be, you know, inquiring about being their chaplain. And they were like, we would love to have you. We have no representation of chaplains in the West Valley of Arizona. And so, you know, and I'm hoping that that's an open door. That way I can, you know, stay still plugged into, you know, public safety one way or another as a chaplain for fire and police, you know. And as we all know, I think our brothers and sisters in arms are going through hard times mentally and spiritually, you know? And, you know, I love it when like fire departments, police departments send out, hey, there's peer support, you know, you can use this. And I would venture to say a good 8, 9 out of 10 people are like, I am not calling their peer support because it's my fellow coworker, you know? And where I want to be able to differentiate on that is I want to give Jesus, not some psychobabble, you know. We need to give Jesus. And I agree with you, Josiah. It's that simple of just come and see. And I think a lot of times as Christians, especially those of us, you know, that wore the uniform, you might not be a Billy Graham, you might not be a Greg Laurie, and, you know, but you're you. And if you found Christ and you have other coworkers that are struggling, you don't have to preach to them. Just bring them to church, a Bible teaching church, that is, you know, and let the word of God do, you know, what it wants to do. It's the word of God that heals hearts, that binds up wounds, as the Bible says, and ministers to the souls. And, you know, I think what this past year is the highest rate of suicide by a cop in the police industry, and even the, you know, the fire. And so, you know, there is hope. And, you know, when you're talking about Nathaniel Josiah, I was, ever since I watched that program Chosen, I can see those actors' faces, you know, some are ugly, some are not, you know, but whatever. But, you know, when Nathaniel failed in that episode and he went to the fig tree and he's holding the blueprints and remembering, you know, the verses, the law that he memorized, you know, and then when Jesus met him, you know, and he says, oh, Nathaniel, behold, the one who has no guile. And he's just like, how did he, what? He goes, I heard you when you cried out to me, you know? And it's interesting because I think we all have moments where whatever the disciples went through, we as believers go through something similar to that, you know? And because we all have prayers in our hearts that no one knows but the Lord, you know? And in a sense, no one should know but the Lord, you know? And I think God wants conversations only with him. And there will come a time when, you know, maybe those prayers are shared, but a lot of times there are secret prayers where, I mean, I, as a husband, was praying for many, many weeks and months, Lord, speak to my wife, speak to my kids, speak to my wife, speak to my kids, you know, and through various circumstances, with toxic leadership at a particular agency, I'll leave unnamed, God used that to speak to my, you know, my wife. God used that to speak to my son and my daughter. And I was just like, Lord, I didn't really want you to answer it that way, but who am I to question God, right? And so that's where we're at. I mean, yes, definitely, it's a bittersweet. Josiah's like not going to be down the street where we can have coffee for like 4 hours. But we can do this remotely as we are doing right now. And, you know, and that's the bond. I think that's how, in many ways, we even connected with you, Adam, is through the Insta. You know, it's the like-mindedness. And, you know, we talk about a brotherhood in uniform, right? Those of us that wear the badge. But yet there's so much loneliness in behind the badge as well, you know? And, you know, we have friends and coworkers that on the surface, it's like, oh, it's great. They got boats, you know, they got snowmobiles, they've got, you know, jet skis and on and on. And deep down inside, they're having thoughts of suicide. They're having thoughts of depression, you know, and but it's the brotherhood, right? And the reality is there is no greater brotherhood than Christianity.
Amen.
You know, because the Bible says greater love than no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends, you know. And, you know, those of you that are watching this or listening to this, you know, we are your brothers in arms. You know, we're praying for you. But at the same time, you know, you always want that brotherhood where you have that relationship like David had with Jonathan and, you know, Jesus had with the disciples. Those relationships are utterly important. You know, Josiah's, I know, got a network of friendship that he's going with Brian Kelly, you know, and his family and all. And there's going to be that fellowship that's going to be there. I'm already connected already with some of the guys in Arizona. And they're excited that I'm even coming out. And so I'm kind of excited that the cat's kind of out of the bag, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And the baton's being handed off. And my job is to make that seamless as possible and, you know, get the word of God out, you know, especially in these crazy days, you know, where truth is like, you know, marred, so to speak. Yeah, that's it.
I shared earlier my life verse, and I just wanted to give you that passage of scripture so you know where the address is at. Because a lot of times, you know, as the Lord imprints like the word into my heart, I just spit it out And I forget sometimes to give that address. My life verse is found in Psalm 32, 8. And it says, I will instruct you and show you in the way you go. With my eye on you, I will give you counsel. Mm. And I want to end personally my little time, and I'll let Adam take on. In Psalm 19, is just Mike was speaking and you know, I was sharing kind of what the Lord was doing in my life. Psalm 19, verses 7 through, let's do verse 11. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart gold, or making the heart glad. The commandment of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than an abundance of pure gold, and sweeter than honey dripping from the comb. In addition, your servant is warned by them, and there is great reward. There is great reward in keeping them.
I got nothing to add. Michael, you want to pray us out?
Yes. Lord, in both Josiah and I sharing, Lord, and even Adam, Lord, our hearts, we as men, we're nothing but a shell. We're just instruments in your hands, Lord. And Lord, as cops and as firefighters, we have tools in our hands to use for whatever purpose it is for. And may we as believers that wear the badge, may it be just that. May we be tools that will be used to maybe minister to my coworker or minister to someone that just got arrested or minister to someone that just lost a loved one in a fire. But whatever capacity, Lord, as Josiah was sharing, Lord, may us be like the disciples and just say, hey, come and see. But the other details we can deal with, but just let us introduce those that we care for and love to the one who died on the cross for our sins. Lord, in these times when, Lord, people are so confused about truth, when people are so confused about who they are, their gender, their political view, or whatever it might be, Lord, I pray, as your scriptures would say, that they would find the truth and the truth would set them free.
Amen.
And so, Lord, we ask that, Lord, you would use the Thin Line believers, not so that it grows for itself in its own piety in that sense, but Lord, may you use Thin Line believers in such a way that, Lord, people are being ministered to, whether it's today, next week, next month, or next year, but this episode, people will see how God, Lord, moves lives in such a way that it's like a chess piece. It's moving here and there. And so that we ask you would just have an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon the Thin Line believers. Lord, bless Josiah as he's venturing, stepping out in faith, Lord, to do what you've called him to do there in Bradenton, Sarasota area. But as he comes alongside Pastor Brian Kelly and West Church, Lord, will you bring hearts that need Jesus? Lord, be with Adam as, Lord, I know you're stirring things in his heart that only you know. And Lord, I believe in many ways, Adam has a heart to be a shepherd. And Lord, will you, Lord, bless him as he does Cop Church. Lord, bless him as he ministers in his uniform there. Bless him there in Oregon under Lord, toxic leadership in that state, Lord. And Lord, be with Steve, even though he's not able to join us, Lord, that you would continue to watch over him and his family, guard his heart and his mind, Lord, that first and foremost that he's walking with you, God, and that his family's being cared for. And Lord, thank you that in many ways for me, the cat's out of the bag, that I could have the honor and the privilege to pastor Calvary Chapel Buckeye. And Lord, may it be an oasis there in the desert, that it could be a shining light, a beacon, Lord, for those that are hurting and lost there in the desert, Lord. So continue to watch over us all. And we just ask that you would be glorified in our lives. And that, Lord, you would be the one that would receive all glory and power, Lord God. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thanks, Michael. So, to the listeners, we'll catch you next weekend. God bless.